Good morning, Lulawet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We had Chopin before the show started. We had Chopin to start the show. We had Chopin to start the show yesterday. A real Chopin thing going on. But yesterday I played a couple of the Nocturnes by Chopin as recorded by Claudio Arrau. At that time I was talking about the specific qualities of his Chopin, which is quite different from most pianists. And I mentioned that that was perhaps most readily heard in the Nocturnes and in the waltzes. So I decided that today we would hear some of the waltzes of Chopin. We're going to do three, and that was Claudio Arrau playing. That was the waltz in A-flat major, opus 69, number one. That opus number is what's called spurious. It doesn't really belong there. Opus numbers are applied when a piece of music was published in a composer's within a composer's lifetime. In this case, these were works that were published after Chopin's death, and so they really should be called opus posthumus, meaning that it was published after the death, after the composer's death. Now, sometimes opus posthumus works are very early works by a composer that they withheld because they didn't think they were good enough for publication. In this case, this simply seems to be one of the more mature waltzes of Chopin, and it's not an early work, and just one that he never got around to publishing while he was alive. Hey, he only had 39 years. There was only so much he could get in that time. Anyway, we'll hear two more waltzes. I'll tell you a little more about Arrau. And yeah, we'll do all that after Weather and Roads, which we will do right now. Yesterday's low minus 0.9. The high made it up to 2.2. Yeah, I see the icicles around my place dripping and that sort of thing. It seems like the snow is sort of collapsing, but we're not getting, as I said yesterday, not getting those warm temperatures long enough or warm enough in any particular day for it to make a serious dent in the snow yet. According to the forecast, maybe by the weekend that will be happening. We'll see. As of 7 a.m., the temperature at minus 1. Environment Canada says cloudy today with a high of plus 3. Tonight, cloudy, a low of minus 1. Tomorrow, cloudy, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour in the morning, and tomorrow, high of plus 2. Thursday, snow or periods of rain, a low of 0, a high of plus 3. Friday, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers, a low of plus 3 and a high of plus 5. We ought to see some difference starting to happen by that time. And at this point, Saturday predicted to be rainy with a low of plus 1 and a high of plus 8. So, some warmer temperatures coming anyway this week, although very little sunshine, it looks like, and precipitation once we get to the later part of the week. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, similar to yesterday, in some areas not quite as cold as it was yesterday, but once again, Vancouver and Victoria are the only places on this list of Canadian cities that are in positive territory. So let us start in Halifax, where it's minus 10 degrees, drifting snow there. Montreal, mainly sunny and minus 19. Toronto is also minus 19 and mainly sunny. Iqaluit, at least a little warmer than yesterday when they were minus 36. Today they have ice crystals and are at minus 26. Winnipeg, minus 21 with drifting snow. Saskatoon is mainly clear and minus 14 degrees. Yellowknife, minus 31 and clear. In Edmonton, it is clear and minus 5. Calgary, minus 3 and mostly cloudy. Both those cities considerably warmer than yesterday as well. Whitehorse has drifting snow, and it's very warm, minus 1 there. Prince George, minus 2 and cloudy. A little closer to home, Clinton, cloudy and minus 6. Hope, plus 1 and mostly cloudy. Kamloops, 0 degrees. Sky conditions not available there. 0 degrees in Pemberton, and in Vancouver, it is misty and 5 degrees. And I have very little on the highways here. No notes for highways 112 or Highway 99. So the only notes that I do have are regarding highway, only note I have is regarding Highway 40, slippery sections between the Mission Dam and Goldbridge. Oh, I'm sorry, there was one for Highway 99. Slippery sections between Lillooet and the Cane Creek Bridge. And that is it. So let's go back to the music of Chopin. If you missed yesterday's show, what I was saying about the way that Chilean pianist Claudio Arrau plays Chopin is that he finds darker undercurrents in the music than many other pianists do. He also tends to play the music a little slower. Admittedly, most of the Chopin recordings we have from him came from the 1960s and even more in the 1970s, I believe. And by that time, by the 1970s, Arao was in his late 60s and early 70s. And this has led many people, he tends to, as I say, play the music a little slower than other pianists. That's led many non-pianists listening to his recordings to assume that because of his age, he just couldn't play the music as quickly anymore as other pianists do. But I've listened to many of Arao's recordings of both Chopin and music by other composers that come from around the same time when he was in his 70s. And it's very clear, if you listen to enough of it, that he did not have any really serious technical limitations at that time. Later, by his late 70s and early 80s, those did start to show up. But at this point, he was still technically as close to his prime as possible. Arao did not believe in showing off. He didn't think that's what music was about. So speed was rarely of the essence to him unless he felt that it was essential to the spirit of the music that the composer was trying to put across. That said, all that about speed and darker undercurrents, we're going to hear a couple of reasonably fast waltzes now, one of which really doesn't have that many dark undercurrents, even in Arao's playing of it. So we'll hear first the waltz in G-flat major, which is very lovely and lively and quite tricky as well. And then we'll hear the waltz in E minor. That's another Opus Posthumus work, but again, not an early waltz by Chopin. This one is fully mature, and I think it's one of his very best, and there's a real air of menace about that particular waltz in E minor. That's the kind of thing that Claudio Arao brings out beautifully. Thank you. That was a close call. I almost didn't have my finger ready there to stop things. So the next music was about to play, which has nothing to do with Chopin. We've been listening to two of the waltzes by Frédéric Chopin, two more of the waltzes. The waltz, first we heard the waltz in G-flat major, and then the rather ominous-sounding waltz in E minor, though I absolutely love that piece. I think it's one of my favorites. And those were in recordings by the great Chilean pianist Claudio Arrau, who you can expect to hear from. Maybe not often here on Snooze Button, but definitely you will hear from him in the future, and a fair bit. I have a lot of his recordings, and at one point, I suppose, when I was much younger, probably in my 20s, if I had been pushed with my back up against a wall, I probably would have said Claudio Arrau was my favorite pianist. Thankfully, I have become a little more open-minded since then, but he's still among my favorites. Okay, it's 8:18. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lullabet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with, yes, Bobcat Logic. That's on at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. Can also be heard at 4 p.m. on Thursdays, just after Democracy Now! If you haven't heard Bobcat Logic yet, I urge you to give it a try. It's put together by local resident Michael Hawes, and he does ruminating and storytelling and a wide variety of talking about interesting things. And a wide variety of interesting things. That's followed by music from the Jazz Blues Soul playlist. That continues until 2 p.m. When I switch control of the airwaves to Studio One in the Lillooet Secondary School, and you can hear student broadcasters Reza and Julia in that 2 to 3 p.m. time slot on weekdays. That'll be continuing to the end of this month. 3 o'clock is Democracy Now!, followed by music from the Rock Pop playlist. This evening, 7 o'clock, an encore presentation of Music for the Middle Ages with your hosts Jim and Aura, and then more music from the Rock Pop playlist after that. And you can find the details of the schedule at the website, radiolillooet.ca. Also, a lot of shows posted there in podcast form, link to live streaming Radio Lillooet, that sort of stuff. And somebody is evidently going to that website. I checked statistics on it a few days ago. 230 something visits in the month preceding to the prior, the 30 days prior to the day I checked on. And I mean, I know I account for some of those, but I'm not the only person. And so whoever it is out there accessing our website, if you're listening, we thank you for doing so. Of course, it could be people in parts of the world that I don't know about. Certainly hope so. Just a little throat clearing exercise there. Let's see, before we go on, something very interesting on the BuzzFeed website this morning. Maybe you're a BuzzFeed follower, maybe not. I certainly enjoy going there and checking out things. Sounds like a sort of a celebrity kind of based site, and they do cover celebrities and that sort of thing, but they also cover serious politics and social issues and that sort of thing. Anyway, there is a post called "This Graphic of Africa's Actual Size Will Blow Your Mind." And it shows Africa with then superimposed on top of it just the outline of the African continent, and superimposed on top of it and fitting into it, we have the United States, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, Eastern Europe, that's a whole bunch of different countries there, including Greece and Poland and Czechoslovakia and Hungary and such, India and China and Japan, all of those countries they would fit into Africa, essentially. Don't underestimate the size of Africa is the lesson here. Many people probably know about the problems with the particular map style known as the Mercator projection, which is one that you often see maps of the world presented in, which distorts things. So it makes land masses that are close to the poles look a lot bigger than they are, and it makes land masses closer to the equator look smaller than they are. And so actually, if you see a corrected projection that is not non-Mercator and that comes closer to showing the continents of the actual sizes, you see that Africa is really quite huge, about the same size as South America, maybe even a little bit bigger. And also, the other weird thing about the Mercator projection is how really gigantic it makes Greenland look. And Greenland is a lot smaller than it looks. It takes on Mercator projections, Greenland looks much larger than Australia. And in fact, it's only about a third the size of Australia. So don't be fooled. Anyway, I'm sure you can find lots of resources online that would tell you more about map distortions created by the various types of projections. The simple fact is that the only obviously the only accurate projection you can get is that on a globe, because you can't transfer a three-dimensional surface like a sphere to two dimensions without sacrificing some qualities of it. All right, let's go to our next music. We're going to listen to one of the cello concertos by Antonio Vivaldi. I don't really have a lot to say about this, except that I wish his cello concertos got played more often. There are 27 of them to choose from, so it's not like cellists have to hunt and peck. They're all pretty good, and admittedly, with Vivaldi, there is a sameness of quality in terms of they're all being in three movements and all in a fast, slow, fast movement order. But as with all Vivaldi concertos, if you take the time to get to know any individual concerto well, you find that they have really quite attractive, each of them has its own distinctive attractive qualities. Anyway, let's listen to this cello concerto in B-flat. This is a recording with Canadian cellist Afra Harnoy, and she is playing with the Toronto Chamber Orchestra, and the conductor is Paul Robinson.
Thank you.
That was music by Antonio Vivaldi. We've been listening to a cello concerto in B flat major, and that was a recording with Ofra Harnoy on the cello. Sorry, trying to do two things at once. That always slows down my brain here. Ofra Harnoy playing the cello, and she was with the Toronto Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Paul Robinson. With the Toronto Chamber Orchestra, she recorded all of Vivaldi's 27 concertos for cello. There may actually be more than that. That was just the number I came up with quickly consulting the online RIAM catalog, which is the catalog of Vivaldi's compositions this morning, but there may be some more tucked away in the catalog that I missed. Anyway, I really like that music. I wish I had time to tell you why B flat major is a strange key in which to write a cello concerto, but I really don't have time to do that. So we better do some public service announcements. What are we at? 8:35. A reminder that family movie nights are taking place on Fridays, Friday evenings at the Lillooet Library. I think that will be continuing during the school year, but I'm not entirely certain. Anyway, that's at 6 p.m. at the library. This week's movie is Wall-E. Maybe a lot of people seen that, but maybe some younger kids haven't, or we could stand to see it again. It doesn't say so here, but I believe that these family movie nights are free. And if you're a regular library patron, you should know that even though the library is open for the family movie night, it is not open as a regular library during those hours on Friday nights. The movie next week, January 23rd, is Back to the Future. Coming this Saturday, Lillooet Naturalist Society invites you to attend their annual general meeting. That's Saturday the 17th, 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's in room 201 here at the Rec Center. New and renewing members are welcome. And if you'd like more information, you can also go to the website, lillooetnaturalistsociety.org. That's a singular naturalist, lillooetnaturalistsociety.org. Now, full disclosure here, I am a member and board member of the Naturalist Society, but I just wanted to take a minute to say that the Naturalist Society has been a real success story since it was formed in, I'm not quite sure what year, goes back a few years now. It's more than 10 or 10-ish, and maybe a little bit more. It's brought so many programs into town, so many visitors into town, brought lots of scientists who have discovered, hey, Lillooet's a cool place to do research. And all of that has brought dollars into town. Anyway, I think it's just been absolutely fantastic. And so the Naturalist Society is a good organization to continue to support. Let's see, Lillooet Legion, the next general meeting is tonight at 7 p.m. And don't forget, they have meat draws on Fridays at 6:30 and Sundays at 3:30. And if you have questions, their number 256-7332. They also have a website, www.lillooetlegion.ca. A reminder that the swimming pool is opening, scheduled to open January the 6th, I believe. Freak Out Fridays, that will be 13, 14, 15, yeah, that'll be this Friday. There will be Freak Out Fridays on Friday nights, 5:30 to 8 p.m., a theme swim every week. Kayak lessons happening Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. until 9 p.m., and swimming lessons Tuesdays and Thursdays as well, starting at 5 p.m. Aquafit classes Tuesdays and Fridays, 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. Cost on Aquafit is $7 per class. If you're interested in the kayak lessons or swim lessons, you'll need to register with the rec center. Give them a call at 250-256-7527. Yes, there was a question mark in my voice there, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And I just found this note pushed under our door, and I'm very happy to bring it. In fact, I'm really excited to see this is happening. Another great event at the library will be happening on the four Tuesdays in February. Experiencing Hubble, Understanding the Greatest Images of the Universe. Tuesday evenings at the library, 7 until 9 p.m. It'll be hosted by amateur astronomer Steve Hempel. And I gather this will be featuring a DVD series that talks about the Hubble Space Telescope and the images that it's taken. But astronomer Steve Hempel hopefully will be able to give us a little more insight into that. And it says here, telescopes will be available after the lecture for those interested in viewing constellations and planets, weather permitting. Of course, February, maybe not the best time for stargazing in Lillooet, but if there is a clear night, it's still pretty wonderful. It's just not as comfortable to stay out as it is, in July when if you have a Friday night, don't have to go to work the next day, you can stay up late and enjoy the amazing stars. But anyway, that sounds like a fantastic program going on, and I am certainly hoping to attend at least one or more of those. Tuesdays in February at the library, 7 until 9 p.m. Doesn't say so here, but again, I believe this is probably a free event. And when we get closer to the dates, I will give you more details about what will be talked about every night. Okay, that is it for public service announcements. For the rest of the show, we're going to turn to music by Autumn Khachaturian. I should have said earlier, this is one of those editions of Snooze Button where I think that the theme would be each of the composers involved saying, why am I on a radio show with those other two guys? Chopin, Vivaldi, Khachaturian, I don't really know if there are any connections there. I certainly wasn't able to find any, but I didn't look very hard. Just kind of the way the music fell out when I was putting the show together yesterday. Khachaturian, born in 1903, died in 1978. He was Armenian by birth, but of course at that time it was the Armenian SSR, part of the Soviet Union, not when he was born, but shortly afterwards. And so, like so many of the composers during the Soviet era, he had to work within its restrictions, and like just about all of them, there are very few exceptions. At one point or another, he came under censure or official disapprobation or that sort of thing. But for the most part, he generally was fairly well regarded. His music generally pleased the Soviet authorities because it tended to be very approachable for audiences and did not delve into the dark midnights of the soul to the same extent that, for instance, somebody like Shostakovich did. His ballet Spartacus was written in 1954, and in fact, it was immediately, the Soviet authorities really liked it. Of course, they approved the subject matter about the slaves overturning imperialist pig dogs and that sort of thing. In fact, the music, the Soviet regime seemed to like the music so much that they went ahead and gave him a Lenin Medal for the music of Spartacus in 1954, early 1955, before the work had even been performed on stage. It didn't receive its premiere until 1956, and it turned out to be not very successful at the premiere, primarily because the choreographer decided to abandon en pointe dancing, the kind of dancing that has the ballet dancers up on their toes, the tips of their toes so much of the time. He didn't feel that that was suitable for this story that involves fighting and combats and all that sort of thing. So that took people a lot of getting used to, but I suspect it's probably the way that the work is performed nowadays. I've never seen the ballet myself. Anyway, Khachaturian extracted three suites of orchestral music from the ballet, and we're going to hear the suite number two. It has four sections. It opens with the Adagio of Spartacus and Phrygia, which is really the one big hit from this ballet, although there are a lot of great tunes in the ballet. But this has a tune that's been used in commercials and cartoons and all sorts of things, usually as background music to a montage series of a couple falling in love, that sort of thing. That's what this is a love duet or love adagio between Spartacus and Phrygia. Then we have a section that involves several different things happening: the entrance of the merchants, the dance of a Roman courtesan, and a general dance. Then the entrance of Spartacus, a quarrel, and the treachery of Harmodius, and the final section is the dance of the pirates. Can't do a ballet without pirates. You got to have pirates. Anyway, I think that's all I'll say about it. This is very attractive music. Tends to be slightly bombastic in quality, but that also sort of fits the subject matter. We'll listen to a recording with the St. Petersburg State Symphony Orchestra, and the conductor is Andrei Anichanov.
We'll be right back.
Pirates. It's always more fun with pirates, isn't it? At least as long as they're fictional pirates, of course. We've been listening to music that comes from suite number two of music from the Spartacus Ballet, music by Adam Khachaturian, composer of the 20th century. And that was a recording with the St. Petersburg State Symphony Orchestra. The conductor was Andrei Anicharov. Let's see, Bobcat Logic all lined up, ready to go, so that means I'm going to have to wrap up Snooze Button, but if you missed the weather at the top of the show, let me give you a quick recap. I'll just see if we've got refreshed temperatures. We do, though there's not much difference. 9 a.m., the temperature is at -0.7. Environment Canada tells us it will be cloudy today with a high of +3. Tonight, cloudy, a low of -1, and tomorrow, cloudy, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour in the morning, a high of +2. Looks like slight warming coming as we get to later into the weekend, but also some precipitation as well, and not much sun in sight in the forecast right now.